ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ആനന്ദകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേംസഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൌരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാന് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സംകീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരഗസ്ച അർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാത് നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ഹാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीय किशोर मुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुनिदादृतानेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरेम् न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन्हिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीम् गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासं हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनातिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमानवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारक वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदाम्बुरदो मम मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द Continuing from the discussions between King Nimi and the Navayogis, the nine sages, we're talking about the Avirhotra Maharshi's questions and answers. So Avirhotra has asked this question to King Nimi that about Karma Yoga. So that is what we discussed in the last two Sundays. And continuing from that, eventually the question came up to what is Karma Yogam. And answer to that, he said there are two kinds of Karma Yogam. One, what is discussed in the Vedic Karma Yogam, which is the sacrifices. And then there is the other Karma Yogam, Stanya Karma Yogam, what is called as the worship of the deity at home, based on the Tantriya Vidhi. So, the Karma Yogam that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavadam, at this point in Bhagavadam, is only referring in a few verses. Avirhotra Maharshi answers that question, that Tandroktena cha Keshavam, he says in this verse, 47, you will see there, verse 47 in third chapter, Ya Ashukhadaya Grandhim Narjahirshumaha Paratmanaha Vidhino Ubajare Devam Tandroktena cha Keshavam. That Ya Ashukhadaya Grandhim Narjahirshu Paratmana Vidhinobachare Devam Tandroktena cha Keshavam. That prior to this, what is discussed the Karma Yogam in the Vedas, that was spoken about, which is the Vedic sacrifices. And now what is mentioned in the Tantram, Tantriya Karma Yogam, which is the deity, worship of the deity, that is what is going to be discussed. That here you will see a word there, Hridaya Granthi. Hridaya Granthi means actually that this, how did this come that we got to identify with this body so strongly? This is always a question which comes to everyone's mind. If we are the spirit soul, how come this identification with the body has come about? How did it come so strongly in us? And that vasana or that thought that is developed, that bondage is called Hridaya Granthi. That means the identification with the body. That is what is called as Hridaya Granthi. So, ya ashu Hridaya Granthi nirjiheshu paralmanaham. That this strong bondage where we have identification with the, instead of identifying with the soul, this identification with the body, those who wants to do that, those who want to break away from that, they have to take to this process of the Tandriya Vidhi, of the process of deity worship, like it is discussed in the Pancharatriya Vidhi. Pancharatriya Vidhi is the Vaishnava worship, form of worship, like discussed in the Pancharatriya Vidhi. That so while discussing this, he says, Vidhino Upachare Devam, Vidhino Upachare Devam. That means, one may not actually worship Krishna. On the other hand, he may worship any form of any of the major incarnations of Krishna, according to one's attachment to a particular form, but based on the Vidhi. Tandroktena cha Keshavam. Based on the Tantriya Vidhi, one should worship Krishna in any of the 10 major incarnations, what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then all this is considered to be karma yogam. Labdha anugrahama acharyal tena sandarshida agama mahapurusham abhyarchin murtyabhi madayal manaham. Then in order to worship this deity, in order to worship the deity according to the Tantriya Vidhi, one should have a proper teacher how to do the deity worship. That and in this deity worship process itself is a very big science of its own, which has developed over many, many thousands of years. And that process of deity worship has been in existence for a long period of time, at least throughout the period of Dwapara Yugam and Kali Yugam. Because deity worship is started in Dwapara Paricharyayam. It is in Dwapara Yugam deity worship has become very a serious way of worshipping Krishna. Dwapara Paricharyayam Kalavadat Harikirtanat. So Dwapara Yugam, many, many temples were built, and the deity worship became very prominent. So because of that, from then on, for these last many, many thousands of years, there were many, many families who were absorbed in deity worship. And some of them, they became extraordinarily good at it, extraordinarily good, that they laid out the certain rules and regulations on the deity worship. That is how the various literature on the Tantriya Vidhi has developed in due course. In due course, the Tantriya mode of worship has developed from that. And these families, they had that strict, they were so strict in their worship, not only at the temple, but even at home. And they trained their successors in the process of worship nicely. So then, in due course of time, that family became the authorities on the deity worship. So generally, you can see, deity worship requires a commitment of all time, 24 hours. It's necessary. Because otherwise, to fall down and to become impure in our daily life is very easy. And so long as we associate with the modes of nature, the purity of the worship will suffer because of that. That's why it's so important that traditionally the people who did the deity worship, they stayed at the temple or they stayed very close to the temple and absorbing themselves in the programs at the temple, or when they had time, they spent the time in doing the worship. That way they did not allow the mind to get contaminated by the modes of nature. This modes of nature is such a thing that while worshipping the deity, one has to know how to purify oneself before getting close to Krishna. The deity's presence has to be recognized. And in order to worship properly, one requires that purity within, in and out, both inside as well as outside. So in the next few verses, Agrahotra Maharshi will talk about this purification necessary, and in a very, very brief way. And then later on, he will conclude this chapter with the instructions to how to do this worship. So, he says here that first of all, one should approach a person who knows about deity worship. Because unless he trains the person from an early age in life, it is very difficult for him to develop these qualities. You can always see, if you catch them while they are young, It is much easier to train, to control the mind and to control their habits. Otherwise, after a while, when you introduce them to deity worship, already so much bad vasanas has come from the past, and that becomes a impediment in their progress in the seriousness. So this whole bhakti, what is required for the deity worship, it comes from the shraddha, or the seriousness of the person who is absorbed in the deity worship. And that seriousness, if properly planted from the very early days, that will have a tremendous effect, even at a later date, those who are taking to deity worship very seriously. So, here it says that the first requirement is that he has to take the shelter of an acharya who can give him the proper instructions on this. And according to the form of the deity, whichever he is attached to, or one of the incarnations of Krishna, Krishna has accepted these different forms only for that purpose, so that devotees could worship him in different forms. That is why this choice was given to us. Then, and the instructions for that, only an acharya who is an expert in the deity worship can instruct one on this. Shujisamukhamasinam pranasamyam mana adibi pindam vishodya sanyasa agadarakshochayet harim agadarakshochayet harim. Then he is going to talk about this the process a little bit. Then first thing is, we have from our actions, from karmam, we have discussed this before also, that attachment and aversion to things in this world. This is what happens from karma. Secondly, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. So these four things, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, attachment, aversion, these four things should not happen to a person who is seriously executing deity worship. There, the consciousness has to be pure enough that he should not have this base nature in a person, because they do not help for the purity of the, for the seriousness of the worship. He should be careful not to disturb his mind by the impurities, neither mind or the body. That is important. Therefore, of course, for purifying the body, it is much easier by bathing and keeping oneself clean. But in order to keep the, but the purity of the mind is much more important, the subtle body which is absorbed in the worship process. So while talking about this, Krishna, he says here that he should sit in front of the deity, and first thing he should practice pranayama. Pranayama is necessary because that is a process by which one can purify his mind very easily. Later on in the Ekadasha Skandam, while Krishna is talking about pranayama, he will give a very detailed explanation of that. So you will see there at that time, pranayama is the very minimum thing what a pujari should do. And this pranayama actually purifies the nerves in the body. Particularly, as you know, the tantriya mode of worship is very closely linked to the yoga system as well. We have these three nadis which is going there, Sushumna, Ida and Pingala inside. These three nadis and several other nerves in the body, they get purified by pranayama process. And purification of nadi is essential in order to have the control on the mind while executing the process of worship. So one whose mind is wandering and thinking about the job and office and home and family and all that, if he sits in front of the deity and do the worship, it is actually not only it's not effective, it's actually an offense to do that. So that's why deity worship is possible to do it properly when one is committed to it, when one is properly committed to it and he has got the shraddha or seriousness in that. That the purity is important in that. And then there are other processes in the Tantriyavadi, Anganyasam, Karanyasam, Danyasam, by which each and every part of the limb, every limb of the body is purified before executing the worship of the deity. So in this way, if one carries on purifying himself and not allowing the modes of nature to influence him, that is important. Modes of nature should not influence him, particularly the lower modes, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, should not affect the person who is executing deity worship. He should always stay in the mode of goodness. It is such an important thing for deity worship. So in the Bhagavatam also, later on in the 27th chapter of the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna will talk about this as Kriya Yogam. He calls it as Kriya Yogam and he talks in detail about that. At that time we will come to each of these items a little bit more in detail. But at this point in time, Avirhotra Maharshi said to King Nimi that how important it is to learn the mantras properly, to chant them properly without mistakes, and also by practicing the chanting of the mantram, he becomes perfect in it. All these are a part of that. These are not something, sometimes when you see people taking notebooks and reading mantra from that and chanting. So you wonder that what his understanding is that behind it. Actually, Vedic mantrams, all mantra has its potency based upon the persons who given the mantram and who has received the mantra and how much he has perfected in that mantram while chanting that. So in the history, if you look back, those who were very successful in deity worship, you could see that they had mastered this chanting of the mantra so well that they could at any time make no mistake in any of their execution of deity worship. So these are all the one aspect of it. But while Krishna is talking about this deity worship, he brings an important point there. What was that point? No matter, everything can be perfect. But with all that, if it is not a devotee, then Krishna says, I will not accept that offering. He will not accept the offering if he is not a proper devotee. Devotee means one who has devotion for Krishna. One who goes to Krishna with all material desires is not a devotee. Devotee, Krishna is talking about it here later on. Niravetsham munim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam anubrajamyaham nityam puyeye tyangrirenubhi. That is the definition Krishna has given to a devotee. Niravetsham munim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam. He has no desire, absolutely no desires in him. That is the type of pujaris Krishna loves. Nirabeksham munim shandam is always peaceful, totally peaceful with the world. Nothing disturbs him in this world. So in order to reach that stage, a lot of practice is required prior to that. Nurvairam samadarshinam, and he has no enmity towards anyone or friendship towards anyone. Equal vision towards all the other living entities in this world. He does not consider someone as his friend or enemy. That kind of balanced mind is necessary in the process of worship. Nirabeksham munim shandam nurvairam samadarshinam anumbrajamyaham nityam. Such a person, Krishna says, I follow him. I'll take the dust from that person and put it on my head. Krishna is saying this. Just imagine how much Krishna values devotees of that caliber or devotees of that nature. So devotion is more important than anything else. But when the symptom of this devotion will reflect on one's seriousness of executing the rules also. Somebody may say, oh, I am such a devotee, I don't know how to follow all these rules and regulations. That's another way of interpreting that. But that is only finding an easy path. A person who is serious about the deity worship and who is not doing it for a livelihood, he will always think it is done with the proper understanding of Krishna consciousness or deity worship, and he will not engage himself in activities which are detrimental to follow the process of worship. So it is the principle behind it. Archado hridaye chabi yada laddho bajaragaihi dravyakshitya atmalingani nishpadya prokshajasanam. That a devotee who is worshipping Krishna is always under the shelter of Krishna. Krishna's protection is guaranteed. So he has to have firm faith in Krishna's instructions, in other words. Only one who has firm faith in Krishna's protection and one who has firm faith in his service to Krishna can execute deity worship properly. Archayo archado hridaye chabi yadalabdho vacharegehi dravyakshatya alpalingani nishpadya prokshachasanam. Then he can worship Krishna based on the tandriya vidhi, that Krishna lives in everyone's heart. That so that is another place where one can worship Krishna once within himself. But if he is worshipping the deity in a deity form, if he is worshipping Krishna in the deity form, he should offer everything best to Krishna. Everything the best to Krishna. You can see here the problem that when these rules were laid for the deity worship process, the purity was considered very important, And generally the mass of people had the understanding about purity. Today even the understanding of purity has changed. Today even the understanding of purity has also changed. What the modern world thinks as pure is not pure from the Bhagavatam point of view. That is another thing. It's not pure from the Bhagavatam point of view. Just for example, water is one of the main ingredients for deity worship. Now generally the water, can we say the water is pure today? Well, from the chemist's and the doctor's point of view, it's well chlorinated and sent to us through the pipe. Many, many days ago, probably it's been pumped from the lake or from the river or wherever it is coming from. But that water is considered to be impure, but although the science says it's pure. Science says it's pure. From their point of view, you may not get any bacteria or infection by using that water because so much chlorine has been put into that. But that water is not considered to be pure for deity worship. So similarly, these are problems. Generally, the temples maintain their own facilities for water where they can take the water directly from the well and use it for the worship. That's one. Secondly, take for example the flowers. When the flowers, what we offer to the deity, if they are grown by the temple and grown in the temple premises and picked by those who are not, who are following the principles, it is pure. But when it is handled through so many people, where through marketplaces, where it's touched by people who are not following the injunctions, and then the ingredients purity is lost there. Ingredients purity is lost there. Similarly, every item, if you look into the deity worship, dravyam, dravya shuddhi it is called, the purity of the ingredients. The purity of the ingredients is important for deity worship. And these things will come depending on the shraddha or the seriousness of the people who are executing the deity worship. But even though it is like that, all these things are only good so long as, unless there is devotion in the heart of the devotee. Krishna says, when you offer everything to me, I look not into what you offer to me, I look into the heart of the person who has offered everything. And I look there and see if he is serious, if he is genuinely interested in making this offering to me. And then I accept that, otherwise not. This is the Krishna's words. Krishna even says later on, Shirome malpadayo hritva bahubhyanja parasparam prapannam pahimamisha bhidam mrityugrahar navad. That a devotee who is offering to Krishna, Krishna is telling us everything, how to do it, how to do the worship, how the process, everything he explains later. And at the end of that, Krishna says to Uddhava this statement, Shiro, after he has completed the process of worship, he should fall down. He is even teaching us how to do that. Fall down in front of me, with both your hands, hold my feet. Krishna says, hold my feet with both your hands. Touch your head on my feet and say to me like this. Krishna says, you say to me like this. What is that? Shiro me malpadayo hritva bahubhyanja parasparam. Both the hands on my feet, touching your head on my feet. You should say to me, what? Prabannam pahimamisha. I surrender unto you. Please protect me. Then I'm under fear. And please remove this fear from me. I am terribly in fear. So I will ask you, what are you frightened about? Then you can tell me, Bhidam mrityugrahar navad, that I am frightened of death. So every living entity ultimately is frightened of death. There is no doubt about that. Today, somebody may feel, oh, death will come after 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever it may be. But ultimately, the death is the most fearful thing that one has to change one's own body. So those who accept Krishna's injunctions in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will say this in the Bhagavad Gita also, later on, earlier. He says there that Yes. So he would mention that about death, that how important it is to be conscious of that. So, Vidam mrityugrahar navan, that I am frightened of death. So Krishna says, that is the way you should serve me. So Krishna spoke about these things ആൻഡ് അർച്ചാദോ ഹൃദയേ ചാപി യഥാലബ്ധോപചാരകൈ ദ്രവ്യക്ഷിത്യ ആത്മലിംഗാനി നിഷ്പാദ്യ പ്രോക്ഷചാസനം. ദൻ ഈസ് എക്സ്പ്ലെയിനിങ് ഹിയർ വിത്ത് ദ ദ്രവ്യം ഓർ വാട്ട് ഇൻഗ്രീഡിയൻസ് ഹി ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് ദി പ്ലേസ് ദ ബോഡി ദ ഡെയ്റ്റി എവറിഥിങ് ഷുഡ് ബി ആൻഡ് ദ പ്ലേസ് വെയർ യു സിറ്റ് ആൻഡ് യു ഷുഡ് use the water to purify these places, chanting the proper mantras. And once you enter into the deity room, your heart should be pure. It should not be contaminated with everything. As soon as you see the ingredients for the worship of the deity, you should feel pleasure inside. And everyone should be kept ready for that. Padyadinubagalpyadha sannidhapya samahidaha kridhadibi kadanyaso moolamandrena charchayen. Arkhyam Padyam, these are the things which are required for the water. What is required for, it should be kept close by. And once one is satisfied that everything is ready for the worship, then you should keep your mind very focused. And the mind should not wander around anywhere else. His mind should be completely absorbed in the deity form. And he should worship the deity, chanting the proper mantras as instructed by his teacher, by the acharya. That when it is executed like that, Krishna is present there. That without any doubt that Krishna's presence is there, without any doubt, one should serve Krishna with the proper understanding that Krishna is present within me, he is present in front of me for me to execute the worship. And he should use the Moola Mantram. Moola Mantram means different mantras like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Narayanaya. They are different Moola Mantras. These Moola Mantras should be used to chant, and he should pay his obeisances to the deity. Sango Bangam Saparshadam Tam Tam Murtim Somandrada Padhyark Achamaniya Dei Snanavaso Vibhushanehi ഗന്ധമാല്യ അക്ഷതസ്രഗ്ഭിർ ധൂപദീപോപഹാരകൈ സംഘം സംപൂജ്യ വിധിവൽ സ്തവൈ സ്തുത്വാ മമേധരിം. ദാറ്റ് നൗ അവർഹോത്രമാഷി സേസ് അബൌട്ട് ദി വർഷിപ്പ് ഓഫ് ദി ഡിഫറെന്റ് അസോസിയേറ്റ്സ് ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് സുദർശനം കൃഷ്ണസ് ഡിസ്ക് സുനന്ദ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണസ് പാർഷദസ് ഓർ അസോസിയേറ്റ്സ്. And all these have to be honored. When we worship Krishna, we don't worship Krishna alone. Krishna with all his associates, they should be worshipped. And Padyam, Arkhyam, Achamaniyam, Snanam, Vastram, Alangaram, Chandanam, Akshadam, Mala, Dupam, Deepam, Naivedyam. There is an order in which these things are done. You will see these things in the deity worship explained in detail. In which order they should be offered to the deity. And basically, deity worship is nothing but you have receiving a guest at home. When you receive a very honorable guest, how you receive the guest, you offer him a seat to sit down. Then you offer him different things to please him in such a way. So the bathing, everything is just nothing but a part of that. So, and eventually you offer him with all the nice food to eat. That's naivedyam. So that's the last thing, and that is offered. And when he is pleased, the guest is pleased very much, exactly the same way, the deity should also be worshipped. Then, after that, you have to glorify the deity by chanting the different kirtanams. Kirtanam is necessary while worshipping the deity. After everything is offered, one should chant some important, well-known kirtanam, like Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govindam. They are all generally sung at the big temples in order to please the deity. And Krishna is pleased at that time. So, Almanam Tanmayan Tanmayam Dhyayan Murtim Sampujaye Dhare Shesha Madhaya Shirasa Sadam Nidhyasa Salkradam. Then one has to realize that one is non-different from the one who is worshipping is not different from the deity, in the sense that Krishna is present within him and Krishna is present in the deity also. And while worshipping the deity, this point has to be always noted. Just for example, in the Tandriyam, why I mentioned before, Vaidigam, Tandriyam and Mishram, three processes of worship. In the Tandriya Vidhi, one worship accordingly as it is discussed now in these processes. In the Vaidhika Vidhi, it is discussed in a little different, where mantra has been given a very important, mantra has been given an important role there. There, Krishna is invited to come from inside. Krishna is invited to come from inside. And after the worship is over, he is brought back inside again. So this is called as avahanam, and bringing back is called udvasanam. So avahanam and udvasanam is another process where Krishna is worshipped, and then after the worship is completed, he is sent back again inside. Because here is the best place where Krishna is free to be invited from. He is the closest where he is. So because of that, in deity worship processes, important thing is to the purity of the of the pujaris who are doing this worship. That is the most critical thing. It is their purity that makes the deity worship a very, very pleasing to Krishna. And Krishna is present there. Like the personality, great acharyas who have installed the deity, they invite Krishna to come and to stay. But he stays there depending on the service rendered by the devotees. His presence is under experience. The invitation was offered to Krishna by the great acharyas or the great devotees. They invite him to come, and Krishna comes and occupies there. After that, how the deity is present, Krishna's presence there, depends on the service that is offered to him. Depends on the purity of the devotees who offer the service to Krishna. So this way it is an important thing. Like in every process, what is important is the Krishna's message. The Krishna mentions there that Krishna sees the devotion of the devotee, how serious he is in his deity worship. If he simply sees it as a statue standing there and do the deity worship, it will remain as a statue for the whole life. It won't be different. But if he has to see Krishna there in the deity, and in order to see that, all these purificatory processes and continuously not associating with the lower modes of nature, these things are recommended for that purpose. And a rigorous long time training also is essential for that. It is not like in the university we go and study something and write a books on that. This is not a topic for that. Deity worship is not meant to be like that. Deity worship, everything is such an internal thing that a person who is following the properly the process of deity worship, you will see his presence, Krishna's presence in the temple will be felt by the devotees. It will have its impact on the whole society, whole community, all those devotees who come to the temple. Always you have to remember, the worship of the deity at the temple has to be of a much higher standard than the worship at home. In worship at home, to do the worship on a proper higher level is impossible because of constraints at home. To maintain that standard of purity, to maintain that commitment like in a temple is not possible. The temple is the property of the whole community, of the whole society. So the temple standard has to be always much higher than the standard of worship at home. We shouldn't mix these two things. The worship at home is in one level. The worship at the temple is on a much higher level. The worship at the temple, whatever that has been instituted by the acharya at the time of installing the deity, that rules must be strictly followed without any deviation. Otherwise, deity worship will not have it will not give that spiritual strength to the devotees and also inspire them in spiritual life. After all, it is Krishna who inspires us from inside and outside. Without Krishna's inspiration, it's not possible for one to execute spiritual life. So, anyway, that is a general review of the process of deity worship, what he mentioned here. Then, and the last verse he says, evam agnyar kadoyada adithau hridaye chaya yad ishram almanam achiral muchirehisam. That just like you worship the deity in the, worship Krishna in the deity form, Krishna's presence in fire, in the sun, in water, in the heart, in the guests, all these things are, Krishna says, you can worship me in all these places. That when, for example, when a great personality comes home, you get an opportunity to worship him. Worship him exactly like you worship Krishna. And that is important. That, and also to remember that Krishna is capable of removing all distresses of the devotees, and very easily he can come out of this materialistic consciousness. That is the advantage of deity worship. Very easily he can come out of the materialistic consciousness. In other words, those who find it very hard to follow the process of studying the Shastram and proper reflection on it to execute spiritual life, for them this process of deity worship is helpful. Iti Srimad Bhagavate Mahapurane Ekadasha Skande Brahma Karmadi Nirupanam Nama Tritiyodhyayaha. So with these three chapters we have finished with Agrahotra Maharshi. So Bhagavata Dharmam, the symptoms of a devotee, Maya, how to cross over Maya, what is absolute truth, Narayana, what is karmam, these things were discussed till now. Now there is Drumila, Chamasa and Karabhajana. So at this point in time, the king is asking a very interesting question. Which are Krishna's incarnations? Which are Krishna's incarnations? This is the question the king has asked. As you know, that Krishna has given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this deity worship process has been discussed later on also in the 27th chapter. At that time we will go through it a little bit more. But here, Agrahotra Maharshi just in a very nutshell talked about the deity worship. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice deity worship has been given some importance. But at the same time, when you talk about the opulences of Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yogam, which is known as the opulences of the Absolute, I think it is the 10th chapter, Krishna has not spoken about deity worship there. So a devotee who is advancing spiritually, he has to, one side, accept the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, as Krishna has spoken before, and this deity worship can support that and help him in his progress. But sometimes what happens is that some people get stuck with deity worship, thinking that I'm doing deity worship, I don't want to know anything else. What's mentioned in the Shastram. So in other words, his mind will not develop properly in the way that he should understand the Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it becomes a problem. So therefore, it is mentioned here that the devotee should understand when Vibhuti Yogam is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about this very much. But Krishna says that you should see me everywhere in the whole creation. You should see my presence. That's important, Krishna says. It's important to see my presence in the whole of creation. Because the charam and acharam, or moving and non-moving, everything is Krishna. Krishna's presence is there in everything. But because we have very limited vision, in our purity is so not so good, we have to first start somewhere, and deity worship is only just a aid for that. In the process of realizing Krishna consciousness, you will see Krishna making so many statements at different times. In the Bhagavad Gita also you can see that. In some points Krishna says certain things. In the while talking about Bhagavad Gita, you have noticed there that Krishna decided to give Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, not to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why is that? Everyone may ask this question: how come Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is the eldest member of the family and who was also a devotee, still Krishna decided to hand over Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna rather than to Yudhishthira Maharaj? This question will come up. Among the Pandavas, why Arjuna was chosen to be the recipient of Bhagavad Gita. The reason for all this is, if you study Bhagavad Gita very well, you will see the answer there also for this question. In fact, Krishna did give Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira Maharaj, but it didn't have any impact on him. He could not get any benefit from that. Vyasadhyay Ishwaray Rajnyay Krishnayar Albhuta Karmana. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, you can see when Yudhishthira Maharaj fell into a delusion, into a situation like Arjuna. Arjuna got into trouble at the beginning of the war, isn't it? At the beginning of the war, Arjuna got into problems, because when he saw, he found it difficult to take the weapon and fight, and he was finding it difficult to go further. So at that time, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and Arjuna got the inspiration to fight, and also he understood the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. philosophy of Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, when Yudhishthira Maharaj fell into the same situation, state of mind, like Arjuna fell, which you can read in the Bhagavatam in the first canto, when after the war was over, Arjuna's problem was before the war. Yudhishthira Maharaj's problem started after the war. Yudhishthira started complaining that this whole war has been a disaster. He was feeling guilty inside for being responsible for the death of so many people. 6.4 million, it says. 6.4 million people were killed in that battle. And he felt the responsibility that I am responsible for this situation. Many women had no children. Many women had no husbands. Many mothers had no children. Many parents have lost their children. It was a complete chaos, or in other words, a complete disaster after the war. Seeing the whole population as a very good, dharmic person, Yudhishthira Maharaj felt very much responsible for that situation. So initially, it was in his mind, it was building up inside. Now and then, he will mention this to Bhima and Arjuna. He will say it like this. He will say that I've talked about this to Krishna much before in advance, and I sent him there to negotiate on our behalf with Duryodhana, and not to cause all this, not to go for war. He wanted a settlement at that time. Instead, what did he do? He went there and he made the whole thing to flare up further, and comes back and starts the war straight away. So he has not taken my word seriously. So initially he didn't say this to Krishna. He kept saying one or two words here and there, and as much as it was building up inside, that is how it is, isn't it? First it builds up inside and start coming out. So when it started coming out, he started saying this to others, particularly Arjuna and Bhima, and sometimes to Nakula and Sahadeva also. So they were thinking that Yudhishthira Maharaj is not having any peace of mind inside, not having any peace of mind inside. So, not knowing what to do, they went and spoke to Vedavyasa Maharshi about this, and Dhaumya. There's another great sage who used to come to the palace. Vedavyasa and Dhaumya spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj that whatever that has happened is always the right thing to happen, and it was the right thing to do. No matter who advised him, nothing happened to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj was still thinking that Krishna is responsible for the whole thing. Krishna was responsible for the whole thing. So as days went on, this started building up inside, and previously he never spoke in front of Krishna these things, but now it started coming out in front of Krishna also. So Krishna, first one or two times he ignored it. He didn't take it very seriously. But Arjuna and Bhima came up and told Krishna that the elder brother Yudhishthira is having some difficulty. He feels that we should not have gone for this war. And like Arjuna was feeling very confident, he said that, you know, when I was in the same situation prior to the war, I'm not feeling it bad now. I think the war is over. But prior to the war, when I felt some frustration within me, you spoke Bhagavad Gita to me. And I felt relieved from everything, and I was able to fight the war. I feel justified in what I've done. But why don't you speak the same Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira Maharaj? Why don't you speak Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira Maharaj? Maybe he can also come out of this, frustration, what he is experiencing. So on Arjuna's request, Arjuna recommended this to Krishna. On Arjuna's request, Krishna decided to talk to Yudhishthira Maharaj. The same knowledge and message, what was spoken in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, the same thing, but in a much more elaborate manner. Much more than, here we have only 700 verses in the Bhagavad Gita. But when Krishna spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he brought examples from the history to prove different things, and spoke the whole of Bhagavad Gita, not while in the battlefield, but in the assembly of all the great sages, and all the Pandavas, Kunti Devi was there, everybody was there. In all their assembly, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj sat there and listened to everything and then fell asleep. This is what happened to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then when Krishna finished his lecture, well, after Krishna has spoken the whole Bhagavad Gita, he woke up from the sleep, like we all do. He woke up from the sleep and said to Krishna, is it over now, what you got to say? In other words, Yudhishthira Maharaj and Arjuna, by all means, Yudhishthira was much more religious, isn't it? Yudhishthira was much more religious. He is dharmam personified. Dharmam is Dharmaputra, he is called. Dharmam, in religious principles, is Yudhishthira Maharaj. And that Yudhishthira Maharaj did not get Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. On the other hand, Arjuna got Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. Why? This question will come all the time, because lot of great acharyas and devotees have analyzed all these things very much. Why this has happened to them, to like this. Reason is this, that Yudhishthira Maharaj, by all means, he was very religious in his life. He followed dharmam very strictly. He was Dharmaputra, he was referred to, Yudhishthira Maharaj is called as Dharmaputra. And he strictly adhered to dharmam. On the other hand, when it came to receiving the transcendental knowledge from Krishna, he did not have the same degree of surrender what Arjuna had. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see, karpanya doshabhakrita svabhava prachamitvam dharma sammuta chedaham shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. That surrender of Arjuna is that what made him qualified for that. Because he has surrendered to Krishna, Krishna decided to deliver him from that illusion. That bruhi danme shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. I surrender unto you, Arjuna says to Krishna. In other words, up to that point, Arjuna had thought about Krishna as a friend, but at least he had the sense to understand that I am not what I am thinking about myself. On the other hand, Yudhishthira always thought he is a very, very strictly adhering religious principles. As far as Krishna is concerned, the good person and bad person, they are product of the material nature. That is nothing, it is not a very serious thing from Krishna's point of view. We may say this, ask this question, how come a good person is suffering in this world like a bad person? We always ask this question, isn't it? A bad person, we think you should suffer. Sometimes we find a good person also suffering in this world. Often you find that. We think that, oh, he's a good person, he is suffering here. Why is that? The reason for that is, good and bad is not what Krishna is looking at. His goodness and his badness is not factors important for Krishna. Ultimately, the good and bad in a person is a product of the material nature he is associating with. That comes from that. And accordingly, he gets his happiness and distress also in this world. But as far as receiving transcendental knowledge is concerned, they are not the criteria. The criteria is surrender to Krishna. That is criteria. That is why, in spite of the fact that Yudhishthira Maharaj was much more religious in those terms, in that principle, Krishna's degree of surrender required, Arjuna met with the requirements. Arjuna has met the requirement rather than Yudhishthira Maharaj. You see, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains these things a little bit more. Abhichel suduracharyo bhajade mamananya bhak sadhureva samandavya samyag vyavasthito hi saha kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shandim nigacchati kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna is giving so much importance to a devotee. He's saying there, abhichel suduracharyo. Even if one person has somehow or the other got victimized by the material nature, because it's from the material nature we pick up all these qualities, isn't it? Good, bad, everything comes from the material nature. We pick them up and we associate with them, and out of lack of control of mind and senses, we get victimized by that. So Krishna is saying there, but even if that happens to a person, but bhajade mamananya bhag, if he is serving me wholeheartedly with the proper understanding that I got victimized by the modes of nature, what can I do? No. But let me take Krishna's shelter. Ajadayama Amananyava. Krishna says, Sadhureva Samandavya Samyag Vavasidohisa. Krishna says, you should take him as a sadhu, as a devotee, because Kshipram Bhavati Dharma Alpa, he will become a pure personality very soon. It won't take very long time for him. Shashwal Shandim Nigachari, he will become peaceful within himself. Because these things, the disturbances in the, due to the association with modes of nature, everyone gets victimized at some point or the other. Sometimes we give too much importance to them. And Shashwat Shandim Nigachari, Krishna says, Shandi or peace will come to that person at some point in time. Kaundeya Pradijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashari. He says to Arjuna, Arjuna, take it from me that my devotee will never fall down. So, out of this Yudhishthira and Arjuna, if you look carefully, you will see there that Yudhishthira Maharaj, although he was on a much higher platform as far as the as complying with the rules of religion or religious principles are concerned, if you look into Yudhishthira, he was hesitant to tell a lie. He was so worshipable towards the brahmanas and the sages. And you can never find any fault in anywhere in Yudhishthira's behavior as far as the religious principles are concerned. Throughout Mahabharatam, Yudhishthira is presented in that way. Yudhishthira is presented as a personality who adhered to the law very strictly. No time you find him deviating from that. But in spite of that, Krishna wanted to give Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna simply because of that surrender. So it is surrender to Krishna that makes a person qualified to get the spiritual knowledge. It is surrender to Krishna that makes a person qualified to receive the spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge comes only by Krishna's mercy or Krishna's grace, not by otherwise. All these things what we are studying and reading in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, in order that these things to manifest, Krishna's mercy is essential, absolutely essential. So, in these circumstances, you can see that in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you will always see this process of surrender discussed very much. Process of surrender is discussed very much. So, at this point, the king Parikshit Maharaj the king Nimi was asking that what are the different forms to which one should worship. One should worship Krishna. He wanted to know the different incarnations of Krishna. Raja Vacha. Yani yani ha karmani. Yani yani ha karmani. Yairyai swachanda janmabhi. Chakre karodi kartava haristani bruvanduna. The king is saying that you have spoken while discussing this, that while discussing about deity worship, the different incarnations of Krishna should be worshipped. So he is asking, I like to know about the different incarnations. In order to glorify Krishna in different incarnations, one has to know his activities and transcendental qualities. Therefore, the king is asking such questions to him. That just like us, Krishna is here. The difference is that ordinary living entities are forced by the material nature to accept a particular body, particular place, particular conditions, male, female. All these things are decided by the material nature according to one's own karma. But Krishna's appearance is not based on that. According to his desire, he can accept any form, any time, anywhere, without any restriction. So he is free from that. According to different times, in different circumstances, what forms Krishna has taken? This is the question from the king. Drumila Uvacha. Drumila is the next stage who is answering that question. Yova anandasya gunan ananda anukramishyan sadu bala buddhi rajamsi bhumer ganayet katanjal kalena naiva akhila shakti dhamna. Drumila's answer. Drumila is talking about Krishna's different incarnations. He says, it is impossible to talk about Krishna's all incarnations because they are unlimited. Because different times, different circumstances he has appeared. But I will tell them in brief, and says Drumila talks to King Nimi about this. Even, he says here, രജാംസി ഭൂമേർ ഗണയേൽ കഥഞ്ചിൽ കാലേന നൈവാഖില ശക്തിധാംനാം. That even you may be able to count, even you may be able to count the particles of dust in the whole world, but still you cannot count Krishna's incarnations. It's so many. That's what Drumila says here. Kalena naiva akhila shakti dhamnam. It is unlimited. The incarnations are unlimited. And Krishna's qualities are concerned, that is also unlimited. Therefore, it is not possible for me to talk in detail about that. In very little, very, very limited way, I will explain that, he says, and he goes on from there. Yova anandasya gunan anandal anukramishyan sadubhala buddhi rajamsi bhumer ganayel kathanjal kalena naivakhila shakti dhamnam. Then, if one is thinking that he can talk about Krishna's incarnations, it is only bhala buddhi. Bhala buddhi means childishness. To think like that. Nobody can do that, Drumila says. Then he says, Bhuder yadha panjaviralma srishtai puram virajam virajayatasmin swam shena vishtapurushabhidanam bhavabanarayanam adidevam. Initially, Bhuder yadha panjaviralma srishtai, he created this viral form. Viral form, this means the universe, manifestation of the universe. That is also another incarnation of Krishna. This whole creation is nothing but another incarnation of Krishna. And he, that he created the five material elements, and with the material elements he created this universe. And after he has created this universe, that he has to enter in himself into that, and in order for the material elements to start working. We have discussed this in the third canto. That just like a worm, it says that it creates its own nest and then it gets into it and start moving along with the nest. Similarly, Krishna also does in the Narayana form, he does that. Virat Purushan is that form. And that is the first incarnation, he says, when the creation began. And for the ordinary vision, it appears to us Krishna, as though Krishna exists in so many different names and forms. That, but in the Viral Purusha form, in the Viral Purusha form, that worship of Viral Purusha in the Vedas is discussed. How to worship the Viral Purusha form, which through the Purusha Suktam prayers, that you can see there in the Purusha Suktam prayers, which is also brought into Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto. So, once when one realizes that in all the living entities, moving and non-moving, the living force is Krishna. The living force is Krishna. He is present there in everyone. That is why we all get our strength to do things. Otherwise, we cannot do anything. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, you will find there that how the process of creation, after discussing how Krishna entered into it, and different material elements talked to each other, but they could not come into any agreement how to work together. So eventually, they all started functioning when Krishna entered. Up to that time, they could not talk to, they couldn't agree on anything. In the third canto, you can read that. That the even the five material elements, they are predominating deities, they all started discussing each other how to conduct expedite the creation. But creation wouldn't move. It would not move. It only started moving when Krishna entered into that. So similarly, all the living entities also in this world is dependent on Krishna. It is due to Krishna's presence that everything is moving. We forget this factor. We see that we are separate from Krishna. But because of Krishna's presence inside, every living entity is able to do so many things. Although we don't give enough credit for that. We have discussed so many times in Bhagavad Gita also how presence of Krishna is such an important factor. The very fact that we wake up in the morning is because of Krishna inside. Very fact that we go to sleep at night is also because of Krishna's presence inside. That it is because of that, all these things, Jagral, Sapnam, Sushupti, the three states happens to us. And also all kinds of functions of the different senses, the mind, intelligence, everything is happening due to Krishna's presence. But because we are unaware of all these things, The way the food gets digested inside, when we eat the food, and the food gives that energy, how from the food the energy is given to us, how we are able to extract the energy what we need from the vegetables, from the grains, from the milk, and how a cow even is able to produce beautiful milk from grass. What a wonderful phenomenon that is. We can call it any chemical process, whatever we want to call it. But at the end of the day, it is Krishna has structured it in everything in a proper way, that all these things are going on within this creation. So an intelligent person should see this, that Krishna is present, says what is more important in the whole creation rather than all the different names and forms what we give importance to. We give importance and credit to others for so many things. But if ever we have to give credit to anybody, it is to Krishna that we have to give credit for what he has created. Such is the creation of Krishna. But often we do not have that understanding. Therefore our so-called intelligence comes above everything. And the intelligence start telling us, no, it's not Krishna, it is something else. We start mad. So that's why one day it so happened, Narada Muni went to see Lord Brahma about this problem, what we have got here with this thing called intelligence. So Narada Muni went there to see Brahma, and when he went to see Brahma, Brahma looked very under severe tension. He was in severe tension. So Narada Muni could not understand why he was so tense. So he said to Brahma, his son, isn't it? Brahma's son. Narada Muni says to Brahma, why you are under so much stress? Brahma says to Narada Muni, I did some mistake in the creation, he said. What was the mistake? While creation was going on, I forgot to put some brain in certain people's head, he said. So I've already shipped the goods. It's already gone. And now I think that they are suffering in the world because lack of this brain inside. They are suffering in the world. So he says to Narada Muni, just go there and find out those people who don't have this brain. You know, sometimes when they, from the cars are manufactured in large quantity from the factory, they'll release a large number of cars. Later on they'll find out there was some defect somewhere. So then they will release a memo to all the dealers to let everyone know that those cars under these registration numbers, they should bring it back to the factory to fix it again. Something like that. Brahma also said to Narada Maharshi, go and find out what's happening to those people whom I have dispatched without the proper brain inside. I forgot to put them in, he said. Narada Muni came here. He moved around everywhere and looked and found out some of these people. But then he realized one thing. Those who haven't had this brain inside, they were more peaceful. But those who had this so-called brain, they were causing all the problems in this world. The ones who had this brain inside. Why? Because they will start all these things called universities, research, and then all kinds of conclusions they will come to. And the final conclusion is God doesn't exist. They'll come to this conclusion. Narada Muni went back to Brahma and told him, if you can change your process of manufacture and take this part out from the head, it will do a lot of good for the world. This was Narada Muni's quality control certificate to Brahma. He says to Brahma that it will be better if you can do that, because this brain causes so much problem inside. And this is the whole block in us to stop taking Krishna consciousness seriously. The so-called mind and the intelligence. No matter how much we say, everything want to capture with mind and intelligence. It's very strong in the conditioned soul. And this brain and so-called intelligence, whatever that is, Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavad Gita, that unless you cross over this, you cannot understand the transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge. So that is why it is given so much is spoken about it in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna's words and Krishna's instructions are such that great acharyas and great devotees have given us the message very clearly, what is to be followed and what is to be done. But because of this difficulty with our intelligence and with our mind, we often find that very, very hard. ഭൂതേർഗ്യഥാ പഞ്ചവിരാത്മസൃഷ്ടൈ പുരം വിരാജം വിരചയ്യ തസ്മിൻ സോംശേന വിഷ്ട പുരുഷാഭിധാന ഭവാപ നാരായണമാദിദേവാം. ദെൻ ദിസ് ഇൻകാർണേഷൻ പുരുഷാവതാരം, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് വേർ കൃഷ്ണ എൻട്രേഡ് ഇൻ ടു ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് ഹാസ് ഹാപ്പൻഡ്, കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് എവ്രിവെയർ ഇൻ ദ ഫോം ഓഫ് ലിവിംഗ് ഫോഴ്സ്, ഇൻ ദ ഫോം ഓഫ് ലിവിംഗ് ഫോഴ്സ്. So this is something else to think about. In the when we deal with another living entity, the very important thing to realize is Krishna is present in that living entity also. And if we associate with dead matter too much, what will happen is we will develop the mode of passion and ignorance in us to a large degree. Particularly, this is important in the modern world. This is very important in the modern world. As you know, the modern industrial civilization or industrial culture, that does not allow us to have contact with others on a human level. It doesn't happen. Often, our association with the computer is 14 hours in a day than with the another living entity. And computer is a jadam, it's a dead matter. If you sit in front of the screen for 14-15 hours, by evening, by the time you come out of that screen, you can more or less take it that your consciousness, because of association with dead matter, do not have any mood of goodness left in you at any time. There is no mood of goodness at that point. That is why it is necessary. These systems have developed over years. Computer system, people may say, oh, how essential it is to have a computer for the industry to go on. For whose industry? For those who are running the industry. For they are not sitting in front of the computer 14 hours or 15 hours. They make all the youth, young people, you come and sit here, I'll give you whatever money is decided. You sit here 14-15 hours, work for me. And I'll enjoy, you work for me, I will enjoy. This is it. Whatever it is, that's another side of it. But look at it from the spiritual side, how much damage it is doing. That with a living entity needs contact with another living entity. If you contact the Chaitanyam or living force in another person, that is spiritually much more effective and helpful for a living entity rather than associating with the computer for 14 hours. So those who have to, who are forced to associate in that way with the computer, at least when they finish that work, they should come out and experience the material nature, the outside world. Like the Krishna has created all these things, the sea, the ocean, the trees, the moon, the sun. All these things are meant for us to associate with, not to ignore completely and go and sit in a room with a computer. That is not going to help. That is why our spiritual life gets more and more difficult because of this, the artificial way of disconnecting with Krishna's incarnation of this viral form. This is the viral form, what is outside. This whole creation is Krishna's viral form. That is why in Kali Yuga, our spiritual life also is getting more difficult. Because in the past, before this industrial revolution and all the anarthas what we have created, the human society has much more a natural way of life. And therefore, they could appreciate in all the higher elements in this creation, the presence of the Supreme Personality, Krishna's presence. And throughout in the Vedic literature, you will find everywhere different deities are given as present in particular form, in particular material element, as representative of Krishna. They are present there. And their association is necessary in realizing the truth. So this particular incarnation of viral form is the first one what Drumala has spoken here. Therefore, it says here that this incarnation, as in the whole creation, through this creation, what Krishna has created, we can know Krishna. In the tenth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, one whole chapter, Krishna is discussing about these vibhutis, Krishna's opulences. Krishna says, among the rivers I am this, among the mountains I am this, among the stars I am this, and among the adityas I am this. Like this, among the sages I am this. Why is he saying all that? He didn't say among the computers I am this, did he? Did he say this? I am among the computers, I am whatever make that is. Or among the disc operating systems I am this. He didn't say anything like that. He said in the creation, what I have created, I am this. So due to our disconnection from that, and to our close association with the modes of nature, artificial way of life, this spiritual knowledge and spiritual realizations goes away from us. Day by day, we get further distance from that. And it is very difficult when you start reading Bhagavatam and start reading all these things. We'll immediately go into computer clicking, where is it? Who says what about that? And again trying to capture with the mind and the intelligence what's been spoken by someone else about it. This is how our spiritual life is going these days. In most of the situations, this is what's happening. Because all these things, what's mentioned, our lifestyle is not conducive for that. It's not conducive for that. Nor we have our mind and intelligence are not helping us in that way. So from all sides, it's becoming more difficult to understand even simple statements, what the sages have spoken about. And we find that very, very difficult to accept it also. So, Drumala says here, Yal kayamesha bhuvanatraya sannivesho, yasendriyai stanupradam ubhayendriyani, jnanam sodashvasanado balamoja iha, svatvadhibhisti dilayo ilbhavam adhikartam. So, Jnanam swadashvasanado balam ojam iha sattvadivistidilayodbhavam adhikartam. One in whose body that all these three planetary systems exist. In other words, upper, middle and lower planetary systems, they exist in whose body. And even whose senses are functioning. Because Krishna's presence only, all our senses are able to operate. Otherwise, how will our senses operate? We do not know the subtleties of all these things. We are only thinking, the Bhagavatam says like this, so I have to accept it. It's not like that. There is something more to it than that. When we enjoy the senses in this world, when we enjoy the senses, Krishna will talk about this in the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. If you have studied second chapter, you will find all these things there. That when you enjoy the senses in this world, the senses one day becomes very weak. Very weak. And when we, in everyday life also, normally what is happening is, the individual soul, after enjoying the senses, and engage in material activities, eventually get tired. It loses its strength. When it loses its strength, what does Krishna do? Krishna puts us to sleep immediately. Immediately, he puts us to sleep. Upanishad says, at this point, the individual soul goes to Krishna and Krishna gives us a warm embrace. The super soul, Krishna gives us a warm embrace. That is why in the morning when you get up, all this strength has come back to us. Again, to continue with our activities. All that frustration, unhappiness and distress what you experienced the day before, in the morning when you get up, you come out with a freshness in you. Where is that freshness coming from? It is the time in Sushupti when the individual soul has gone to Krishna by Krishna's arrangement, not by our arrangement, by Krishna's arrangement. When the individual soul in the Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, in the Sushupti stage, when it goes to Krishna, Krishna revives him. He actually revives the whole thing. And it is at that time the soul comes back again to Jagrat stage in the morning, completely forgetting about all the distress the day before, what was happening, and in a fresh mood to start the whole activities again. So you can see that by through the food, he gives us the energy to do the work, or able to extract the energy what's needed through the food, that system. Through the air, what is required, the pranan, the pranan or the vital air, which is moving in the body through pranan, apanan, samanan, vyanan, udanan, five kinds of air. Yogis will explain about that in the Yoga Sutram. Yoga Sutram in the sixth chapter also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about that, pancha pranan they are called. So these five pranan, five kinds of air in the body, how each of them does its own duty. The food that is coming in, how the whole system goes through and taken what is necessary from there. When the senses are exhausted or senses are feeling the tiredness and the mind is exhausted, how it goes back into the deep sleep straight away. Who puts us into sleep? For example, somebody say, you say to someone that I'll give you a few million pounds, don't sleep anymore. You give him a few million pounds, he'll take the money. First day he will say, I'll try a few million pounds. How many days will he stay? Maximum 2 or 3 days. Third day he'll say, you can have your money back, let me have my sleep. Is it not? Yes or no? What is the value of the sleep? So that time you can appreciate what is the value of the sleep. Sleep is not something we have to think, oh, it's all a botheration, it's a headache, or if I could work a lot more if I'm not sleeping. There are some people who think like that also. That's what drives them crazy at the end. So, sleep is also necessary. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yukna suknava bhodasya, that suknam dream, all these says yukta, yuktahara viharasya, yukta yashasya karmasu, that everything yuktam. Yukta means it's all necessary. Krishna has set up a system. That system can only work under that conditions. But so long as Krishna says, if you are aware of these things, that who is behind it, then you can execute any karma in this world. It will not bother you. It will not disturb you. Because these four things we talked about before, ragam and dvesham, karta and bhokta, these four things has come from executing this karma without knowing who is behind it. Without knowing who is behind it. Therefore, Krishna explains that in this way, that behind the whole material body functioning in this world, who is behind that? It is Krishna behind that. It is Krishna's presence that is helping us to go to sleep. If Krishna doesn't allow us to sleep, and then you can't sleep. You can't sleep. You may do anything, any sleeping tablets or whatever it is, but it will not be the same as much as the way Krishna allows still to sleep. That is why you're able to sleep at that time. At suddenly one point, Krishna withdraws all the stress from you, takes it away from you and allows the mind to, the mind is the whole problem behind it. Because mind is, what is mind? Mind is nothing but chitavrti. Chitavrti means continuous flow of thoughts coming one after the other. As soon as you wake up in the morning, immediately that is what builds the first thing. Oh, start the planning straight away for the whole day. Oh, where should I go today? Whom should I meet today? What all I have to do? And this way the planning starts. This is the way how we are controlled by the modes of nature. But as soon as we realize it, that the soul, when he comes out of that deep sleep into Jagrat state, what a transformation that is taking place, that is the point to realize Krishna. It's an important point to realize Krishna. So, therefore, it is a system. This is not existent anymore in the past. Great, great sannyasis and all, when they go to sleep, when they wake up in the morning, the devotees used to do arati to them. What was the reason behind it? Sannyasis have no karma. They are free from all karma. They are completely released. So when they go to sleep, the understanding is that they have actually been with Krishna or with their deity whom they are worshipping, Ramachandra, whoever the deity they are worshipping. So because they were associating with the deity or the worshipable form of Krishna, in the deep sleep, when they come back, they need to be respected, honored, because they come from Krishna at that time. Therefore, in the past, in the great religious mutts or institutions, when sannyasis wake up in the morning and come out, they are immediately offered respect by the devotees or brahmacharis in the temple as a mark of respect to them due to their association with the Supreme Lord in the sleep. This is a very different thing than we. But they are the sannyasis who were not who were so advanced in their realizations that they had completely surrendered to Krishna and served Krishna wholeheartedly. So therefore, such respects were offered to them. So these are the important things one should take note of. Jnanam swadashvasanado velam oja iha sattu adubi sthidilayol bhavam adhikartam. That in all these things, that the strength of the mind, the strength of the body, and the mode of three modes, sattvam, rajas and tamas, and who fills us with sattvagunam also to function here. Because when one is infected with rajogunam and tamogunam, he will get driven away from worshipping the Lord. He will not be able to worship Krishna. So, rajogunam and tamogunam kept under control And all this Sattugunam also given to us by Krishna's arrangement. That that is the important point. So, so, Jnanam Swadashwasanado Velam Ojam Iha Sattvadibhistile Sthidilayol Bhavam Adikartam. Adikartam means the primary cause. Krishna is the primary cause behind it. So every time when we wake up in the morning, Bhagavadam expects us to look back who is behind everything. And that will help in order to fix our mind in Krishna. Because otherwise it goes like a life without any control on us. We live a life totally against the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam wants us to study these things and bring these thoughts into our own life. Whereas if it becomes a mechanical life, totally absorbed in the fulfilling the duties of the family and duties of the world, what we live in, then that life, Srimad Bhagavatam says, will not lead you to spiritual realization. In order for us to understand what spiritual life is, Bhagavatam is opening up certain avenues for us to think through these channels. And one who thinks through that, he will notice it also, that how important all these factors are, what has been spoken about here. Otherwise we lose that Krishna has set up an arrangement where we can have a connection with Krishna in our daily life. But we, on our own, artificially decided to disconnect from all these things and create an artificial lifestyle, and then we want to find out where God is. How can that happen? See, this is the difficulty, that we are not trying to understand Krishna the way Krishna wants us to understand. We do not want to follow Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Rather, we just write it off as no connection with it. And we do like the way we try to do, like the way we try to research into the dead matter and jadam, which is jadam means dead matter. And we find through experiments, we find to some conclusions. In a similar way, if you approach to find Krishna in this world, that's not going to happen. This is the most important thing. You cannot find Krishna in that way. You have to find Krishna the way Bhagavatam has presented to us. That's why Drumala has spoken about this incarnation first, about this incarnation of this whole creation, Viral form. Viral Purusha form was spoken. He says, start from there first. Begin with that. That in everywhere, you will see them mentioned in several places in the Bhagavatam. Khambayu magnim salilam mahimja. Earlier, you see another sage also spoke the same thing. In Vayu, in Agni, in water. And everywhere, in rivers, in the mountains, they are all Krishna's different opulences one should find. One should see there. This is the conclusion from that. So, Adava Bhuchada Dhridi Rajasasya Sarge Vishnustidau Kradupadir Dvijadharma Setu Rudropyaya Tamasa Purusha Samadhya Ityudbhavastidilaya Satadam Prajasu. Talking about creation, Krishna says, Drumala says, Adava Bhuchada Dhridi Rajasasya Sarge Rajogunam, because of the mood of passion, he said, you take the form of Lord Brahma, you came in the form of Lord Brahma, and taking Rajogunam as your partner, you started creation. So these three modes of nature, Rajogunam, Tamogunam and Sattvagunam, has also come, is a product of Maya. Maya's creation, that is. For creation purpose, Brahma took the assistance of Rajogunam from that, because Rajogunam gives the ability to create, ability to work and ability to create. And so you became Brahma, Krishna has become Brahma, and through the mode of passion, he did the creation. And in the same way, you have also Kradupadi Dvijadharma Setum. At the same time, you have created a process also, how you should worship. That was through the process of different sacrifices. Sacrifices means we are talking about the famous Vedic sacrifices. That means Adiratram, Agnishtomam, Vajaveyam. There's a loads of them. Many, many, big, big, huge list. All lasting for months and years. As you saw in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning you saw that Satram Surgaya Logaya Sahasra Samamasada. It says there, isn't it? That Shaunagarishi was executing that sacrifice which was going to last thousands of years. Sahasra Samamasada. You may ask the question that why is there Sahasra Samamasada? Was he living thousands of years? That's another thing. Even somebody starts a sacrifice, even that person die and go away, his children will continue with it. That is how some of those sacrifices were done. They lasted so long. Sahasra Samamasada, it says there. That Satram Surgaya Logaya Sahasra Samamasada. So all these sacrifices were given by Krishna through the Vedas for the human society to execute. And then in order to execute that, he also created the Varnam and Ashramam, the four divisions of society. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. All these things were created so that we could worship him in a proper way, a systematic way. That is also his creation. And then in the form of Vishnu, he took the mode of goodness as his associate. With the association of mode of goodness, he decided to maintain this creation. Krishna decided to maintain this creation. And because of that, we are all living in this world. We are all living in this world because Krishna is maintaining us through the mode of goodness. And similarly, when the time is right, or when it is ripe, Krishna will also annihilate everything in the form of Rudra through the mode of ignorance. So, three modes of nature, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, three forms, and with that creation, maintenance and destruction, all these things Krishna has achieved. So, Adhavabhuchadadradi Rajasasya Sarge Vishnu Stidau Kratupadir Dvijadharma Setum Tadra Rudropyaya Tamasa Purushasamadhyya Ityudbhavastitilaya Satatam Prajasum. Then, that form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva had come, he is the original person, Supreme Personality. Dharma se dakshadu hidaidya janishtam urtyam narayano narakrishi pravara prashanda naishkarma lakshanam uvaja chachara karmam yodhyabhijasta krishi vairya nishevidangri. Now, in the next verse, he talks about one particular incarnation. There is a reason for that. We'll come to that. Why? Dharma's bhairya and Daksha Prajapati's daughter, Murti. Murti was married to Dharmam. And in Dharma when married, Murti, out of this daughter, Murti was married by Dharma. And from that, two incarnations happened. Krishna had two incarnations. What were they? Nara and Narayana. Narayana and Nara. Narayana and Nara, two incarnations came from that. Krishna appeared in these two forms, and in that form, they instructed Srinarada Maharshi about the Absolute Truth. Srinarada Maharshi was instructed by them. And in order that religiosity stays in this world, Naramaharshi and Narayana Maharshi performs penances in Badrinath. They perform penances in Badrinath. If you think that if there is still some spirituality left in this world, if you think that there is some spirituality still left in this world, it is because of their penances. Suppose if they were not executing these penances, this society of the modern human society will not be much different than the animal society. Somehow or the other, still there is some understanding, if not on a large scale, some understanding that there is a superior authority above us, that there is a higher force controlling this whole creation, although so many people want to prove that nothing exists. But still, majority of the people in this creation still believe that there is a superior authority. Is there? Superior authority. So this consciousness is there only due to the execution of penances by Narayana Rishi. Narayana Rishi and Naramaharshi, they will continue their penances throughout Kali Yugam. And at the end, it will say in the Bhagavatam later, that at the end of Kali Yugam, the whole Satugunam will come back to us again. So, Naramaharshi and Narayana Maharshi specifically mentioned for this, for this reason, that this guarantee was given to Sri Narayana Maharshi. Why? This Kalpam, this day of Lord Brahma, that as you know, there is 1000 Chaturyugam in a day of Lord Brahma. 1000 Chaturyugam in a day of Lord Brahma. Each Chaturyugam means Kridam, Treta, Dwaparam, Kali. 4 Yugam, one after the other. And the last one is the Kali Yugam. So religious principles keeps degrading and people will come to the last age of Kali where people will not be very much interested in spiritual life or even religious principles either. So what will happen is, in the age of Kali, if we just, we'll be struggling even to follow these 4 religious principles. Even that will be considered a very advanced personality. If one follows the 4 religious principles, that will be considered a very advanced state of existence in Kali Yugam. So therefore, Agalpakalam sadhu jana abhisakshi Narayano Narasaka. Narayana Maharshi and Nara Maharshi performs penances throughout this kalpam, throughout this day of Lord Brahma, in order to protect the devotees. Because if the whole society becomes atheist, what will happen to devotees? Devotees will find it extremely difficult to live in this world. Extremely difficult to live in this world. So somehow or the other, due to the penances executed by Nara Maharshi and Narayana Maharshi, devotees are still feeling some protection in this world. They are feeling some protection in this world. Otherwise, our heads will all get in the wrong direction. It will go in the wrong direction. Akalpakalam sadhu janabhi rakshi. Only for the protection of sadhus. So this means devotees, Narayano Narasakha, Narayana Maharshi and Naramaharshi performs the penances in the Himalayas, in the Badrinath. So, now, this Narayana Maharshi executed, performed some amazing things. And in another next 10 verses, that's going to be discussed. Indro vishankya mama dhama jigritsha dithi kamam niyumta saganam sabadar yubhakhyam gatva apsaragana vasanda sumanda vadehi sri prachaneshu hira vidyade vidyadan mahitya. Place called Badrikashram. Indro vishamya mamadhama jigriksha didi kamam niyukta saganam sa badaryubhakhyam. In Badrinath, in Badrikashram, Narayana Maharshi was performing penances. And as soon as these penances became very intense, Indra started getting worried. Indra decided to do something, because Indra's fear is, if anybody comes and starts penances, he keeps an eye on him. What is he up to now? Is he after my position, my seat? Because he had bad experience before. Some people have done that to him. So naturally he has to be careful about his own seat. That's what everybody does, isn't it? That in the office also you will notice that the boss makes sure that the next person don't get into his chair tomorrow and get him out from there. So the boss is always careful. On a need-to-know basis, he tells things to the people, isn't it? So that is the same. Indra is not... Why Indra is brought in here? Because Indra is very much like us. It's not much different. He has got all the qualities what we have got. He likes to be praised. He likes to enjoy his senses. He does not want to surrender to Krishna. All these qualities you will find in Indra also. Krishna has invited him many times. Are you not tired of doing this? Indra says, no, I'm not tired. Let me stay here. Give me this job. I'm happy with this job, he says. I don't want to come back. You know that story, famous story about Indra. That Krishna told him, invited him many times. Every time he has got problem there, he goes to Krishna for help. And Krishna says to him, so many times I have come and helped you. You're not tired of all these things. Why don't you come back to the spiritual world? Indra says, no. I'm happy here, because he enjoys his job or whatever he is doing there. So here, Indra gets worried. So what did Indra do? Indra decided to, he has got a few weapons in his hand to break these austerities and penances of the sages. So he has done that to others and he has succeeded, so he decided to send some people who are involved in this. That's what's mentioned here.
Gatva apsaroganam sanda sumandhavadehi. The apsaras women, who are very, very beautiful in the heavenly planets, they were dispatched. Vasanda krutu, and that means the pleasant breeze of the vasantam for the spring season, and music and Kamadeva, they were all the cupid, they were all deputed for this duty. Stri prekshane shubhira vidya adadan mahitnyaham. That Kamadeva came here, apsaras women came here, the breeze, that was all there, and they all arrived at Narayana Maharshi's ashram. And the women started singing, dancing, and tried to attract Narayana Maharshi's attention. And they tried to move his mind. But they couldn't do anything with him. They couldn't do anything with Narayana Maharshi. Narayana Maharshi was Krishna himself, as in performing penances there. Krishna as Brahma does the creation. Krishna as Vishnu maintains the place. Krishna as Shiva finishes the creation. Krishna as Narayana Maharshi performed the penances for us. So who is doing everything? And what are we doing here? We go and create as much havoc as possible, and then we say this whole world is running because we are here. That's our conclusion. But Bhagavatam is telling us certain things, that how Krishna runs the show. His way of doing things are different. So Narayana Maharshi was performing penances, and Indra sends all these people there. Vijnaya shakragritam akramam adi deva praha prahasya gada vismayam ejamanan ma bhaishtabho madanam aryuda deva vadho grihnidano belimashu unyam iva kurudvam. Then they comes to Narayana Maharshi, and Narayana Maharshi could see from his vision that this was an activity deliberately done by Indra. He has already sensed that. And he smiled, thinking about Indra's stupidity, or Indra's narrow-mindedness, in other words. Why? Indra does this mistake all the time, isn't it? If you remember, Govardhana Hill, he had enough experience. So, there also, Indra had a problem, that Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill and protected the inhabitants of Gokulam and Vrindavanam. For 7 days, he kept the Govardhanam on his tip, on his finger. Indra was asking the, Martyam Krishna Upashritya, who does the Krishna think he is? He says, Martyam Krishna Upashritya. He says, he may be anybody in the spiritual world, but when he comes to this world, earthly planet, he is an ordinary person. And he has to pay his dues to me, like the rest of the human society. Why is he not doing that? And this way he was talking to Varuna and Indra, Varuna and to Agni and all other demigods were saying to Indra that the Krishna is not an ordinary person, he is the supreme truth. So what, he says. So Indra's arrogance is well known at that time, and still that arrogance hasn't, the false ego hasn't gone from inside. Ahangaram has not gone away from inside. So here you can see that Indra had come, dispatched all this, and Narayana Maharshi was smiling and thinking about Indra's false ego. Indra's false ego. Indra cannot act like Krishna. Krishna can act because there is no false ego in Krishna's activities. That's why I was discussing last Sunday that in the role of a representative of the Pandavas to negotiate, to drive the chariot, washing the feet of the great sages, performing the rasa dance, and conducting the Mahabharat war, and eventually making his own family members to fight and kill each other. In all these situations, Krishna is not perturbed or disturbed by anything. Why? Because there is no ownership in doing anything. Free from that, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Whereas Indra, just the opposite. Just the opposite. So because of that, Indra's this stupidity, seeing this, Narayana Maharshi smiled and says to him that nothing has worked. Whatever Indra has tried to bring Narayana Maharshi under control has not worked. And by now, the apsaras women and also Kamadeva, the cupid, they were getting worried. Because, say by chance, Narayana Maharshi opens his eyes and he sees us, what we were trying to do. One word is enough. One word is enough. Either they'll all become ashes, or they may have to leave the heavenly planet. If they get a curse, they have to leave the heavenly planet, come and take birth here, in the earthly planet, or in some lower species.
So that kind of curse can happen. Apsaras women knows that very well, that such things have happened in the past for them. Urvashi had to come, and also Menaka had to come, Remba had to come, Tilotama had to come. So many Apsaras women had to come to this world. They don't like coming here, because for them, coming here means they look at us as though we are some worms. Our standard of life compared to them is far, far lower. So therefore, when they had to come here, they are not very happy to come here. Even if you tell them that you can take birth in America, they say, no, we don't want to come. They will say that. So this is our, in this planet we can say this country is doing better than that country and all that. But from their point of view, they are used to a living standard which doesn't depend on the stock market. That's the first thing. Our living standard changes every day, depending on the what FTSE index or Nasdaq or whatever it is. Living standard, one day we are so rich, one day we are so poor. This is our living standard. Their living standard is not like that. It is always high and it stays high. And they don't have to work 10, 12 hours in a factory to maintain that standard either. So from their point of view, this living standard, what we have created, is not something particularly extraordinary. They don't consider it very attractive for them. So they know that if they upset Narayana Maharshi, they may have to come here and get involved with us. So therefore, they all stood there respectfully in front of Narayana Maharshi. All of them stood there. And what did they say? Narayana Maharshi looked at them and smiled. And seeing that they were frightened, he told them not to be frightened. He said, I have no intention to punish you at the moment. He says here, Ma Paishtabho Madana Maruda Deva Vadho Grihni Idano Beli Ashu Nimimam Kurudvam. That you have come here, I am going to receive you nicely. Please accept my reception. That's how he, in a very nice way, he welcomed them. So they got rid of their, it is not your fault, he says to them, that although I'm not going to offer you very lavish food, what you are used to in the heavenly planets, please accept whatever we have got here in our simple lifestyle, as sages, what we live here, but still please accept that I bless you with everything what you require, accept our hospitality. So, Narayana Maharshi showed a great degree of patience and tolerance to the Apsaras women and the Kamadeva. Although they had come to make him fall down from his penances and meditation, and although they have come to do harm to him, he did not take that very seriously. On the other hand, he showed to them and set the standard in this world also to the sages, how when one executes spiritual life, how one should maintain the principles very seriously. That was the purpose behind it. Narayana Maharshi's penances are well known. Narayana Maharshi not only executes penances, he also acknowledges other great sages when they execute penances and advances. You will see that later on the 12th canto. When Markandeya Maharshi won over Maya, the first person who went and congratulated Markandeya Maharshi was Narayana Maharshi. Narayana Maharshi congratulated Markandeya for his winning over Maya. He feels happy when a living entity or a jiva is able to come out of it by strength of executing penances and not being attracted by the sense enjoyment of the heavenly planets, and he is able to stand above that. Narayana Maharshi gets pleased with that. Itam bruvatya bhayade naradeva deva savrira namra shirasa sagranam tamuchum naida dvibo tvai parevi avigrade vichitram swarama dhira nigarana tapada padme nigana da pada padme. So here Narayana Maharshi is saying here, my dear king, Naradeva, he says, address here, itam bruvatya bhayade naradeva devaha. Then when he spoke like this, Cupid and other demigods who had come with him, they were all felt ashamed for what they have done, and they put their heads down in shame, and they spoke like this, that you are the supreme personality, you are not different than him. That for you great souls, this patience and this what you have exhibited here, it's a glory for you. And not to punish us who are very ignorant like us, shows how great and how broad you are in your nature. And when what happened at that time was, they spoke to the sage like this: your qualities are extraordinary, particularly your tidiksha or tolerance level is very high. And otherwise, what will happen to people like us who have so lacking intelligence in us? And the ignorance cannot touch you because you are a realized soul. So therefore, it will not have an impact on you. And great personalities also are serving your lotus feet. Therefore, kamam, lust, anger and things like that don't affect you. Therefore, whatever you have shown to us, the mercy you have shown to us is your normal nature. Tvam sevadam suragrada bhavondaraya svaukau vilangya paramam prajadam padam te na anyasya barkhishibalin dadadasva bhagan datte padam tvamavida yadi vignamurdhanim. He says here that kamam, lust, which is controlled by Cupid, if that has no impact on you, it is not surprising at all. Because for us, what will happen is, we offend great souls, great personalities by our activities. And therefore, we have these guilty feelings in us, and we act in this particular way. Indra has instructed us to do this. That's why we have done like this. Therefore, please do not punish us for this. Why Indra does it like this? They are saying this to him, that Indra is worried that somebody is working to get to the heavenly planets under their control. Therefore he is trying to be careful. Those people who are not very intelligent, they will execute sacrifices with the goal of coming to heavenly planets to enjoy there. That is not a very intelligent thing. They are saying to us, those who have come from the heavenly planets, that they are actually those intelligent devotees. They serve your lotus feet in order to come back to you. Therefore, that the demigods doesn't like it. And this one thing the demigods create in all yoga systems, whether he's a jnani or a bhakta, a devotee or a yogi, for all of them, demigods will come later on at some point in time and create obstructions in their spiritual life. It is called as andarayam. Andarayam means the objections or the problems they create. Particularly this Aishwarya Siddhis. Siddhis are nothing but given by the demigods to tempt us, to tempt those who want to go back to the spiritual world, to deviate them from their path. To deviate them from their path. So once the Siddhis are offered, Siddhi means these mystic powers, or mystic power, Aishwarya Siddhis they are called. So when the mystic powers are offered, one gets attracted by that. And then he forgets about going back to the spiritual world. The goal changes. Guided away by the mystic powers, he uses the mystic powers to attract followers, to acquire wealth in this world, and to acquire fame. And in this way, the whole goal of going back to spiritual world changes. And this is why these mystic powers are present there. That's why in the Indra and demigods uses it as a tool to deviate those who are going back to the spiritual world. They cannot stand that somebody is returning back to the spiritual world once for all from here. On the other hand, they enjoy holding them back, inviting them to their own planets to enjoy the living standard in their planets. This will come later on. Krishna will talk about this to Uddhava, much detail. He will talk about it, at what stage one has to be careful about all this. In our stage, we don't have to be careful about it now. We're not there, anywhere near there. So it won't cause any problem for us at the moment. But much later, Krishna will talk to Uddhava, where Krishna is stage by stage, Krishna talks to Uddhava about at what point these problems will happen to a devotee or a jnani in that stage. (Clears throat)
नान्यस्य ब्रक्षिषि बलीन् ददद स्वभागान् दत्ते पदम् त्वम् अविधायदि विघ्नमूर्धनीम्.
दैट इफ् यू वेन् डेमिगॉड्स ट्राई टू क्रिएट दीस् काइंड ऑफ ऑब्स्टेकल्स इन एडवांसिंग ऑन द स्पिरिचुअल पाथ फॉर ए डिवोटी, दोज ऑब्स्टेकल्स आर डू नॉट वर्क बिकॉज ऑफन दैट because such obstacles are only happens to those who have completely forgotten about Krishna's lotus feet. That, but those who are devotees, for such obstacles cannot have any impact on them.
Shutratrigala gunamaridaja ihya shaisnyam asmanabara jaladhina didirya kechil krothasayan divibhalasya vashampadegor majjandidushcharadavascha uthotsrajandim.
Some other people, they are saying here, those who do not have devotion, devotional mood to Krishna, what they will do is, they will execute perform austerities and penances, but without devotion. In such situation, what will happen is, they will come under the control of the demigods. Or, they will, demigods means, particularly here, who is talking about it? That is spoken by Kamam. Kama means Kamadeva, Cupid is talking. In other words, those who do not have the devotion to Krishna's lotus feet, they will get victimized by one of the two. Either by Kamam or by Krotham. In other words, either for lust or for anger. Lust or anger. Lust is actually a son of anger. So, from the lust, those who have come, once they surrender to anger, what will happen is, that they will, although they have acquired a lot of strength through their austerities and penances, they'll get angry and they will suddenly curse somebody. They'll curse them and they will lose all their strength of austerities and penances by cursing others, by giving them a curse on someone. So all the power, strength of austerities and penances, they lose straight away from that. Straight away, they lose that power. Somebody else, what will happen to them is that they cannot free themselves from the hunger, thirst, heat, rain, cold, and the five kinds of air in the body, and all the problems associated with that. Although they have managed to advance very much, they will get victimized by one of these issues, particularly with Shadurmis, they are called, particularly hunger and thirst, and old age and disease, and happiness and distress. These kind of things will come to them somewhere and start influencing them. That all the austerities and penances they have acquired after several years of work, that once they come under our control, what we will do normally is we'll engage them, giving a lot of bodily happiness, and they will fall into that. One who are surrendered to anger or lust, their austerities and penances also will not help them very much. Krishna talks about that in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? That there's two famous verses in the Bhagavad Gita. What does Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsan Sangaste Shubha Jayade Sangal Sanjayade Kamal Sangal Sanjayade Kamal Kamal Krodhobi Jayade Krodhal Bhavadi Samoha Samohal Smriti Vibhrama Smriti Bhramshal Buddhinasho Buddhinashal Pranashari. These two verses in the Bhagavad Gita are so famous. Why? Because this is how a living entity falls in the material life, in the material world. A devotee who wants to advance on the spiritual path, Krishna is saying there, if you keep these two verses in perspective all the time, then you cannot fall. Because he says, everything dhyayado vishaya pumsan. What does it mean? It's an important verse. That's why we need to reflect on it very much. Krishna says that in the sense objects and senses, they will interact all the time. They will always interact. You can't stop that. Because when Krishna created all of us, the way we have been created is senses always external, going outwardly. Isn't it? He created the things in such a way, all our senses, mind, everything is looking outward. So what did he do? He created everything outward looking and he went inside and sat inside us. He sat inside and put these things all outward looking. If these things were, and then tells us to turn them all inwards. You see? First of all, by creation he has done this. He created the senses, the mind, everything outward looking. And then he went and sat inside. And then he says, you give up everything and turn inwards, looking to me. That's what Krishna is saying to us, basically. It's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? But when we do not know these things, we don't worry about it. We go all the way out looking for happiness outside. But when you have understood this, then the process starts. That is where, why we say, control the senses, control the senses, control the senses. Why Krishna give importance to controlling the senses? Because of this, that if you allow the senses to go outside, the mind will go outward. And outward means what? It will look for power outside. It wants to control the world. It wants to control the world. So if the mind goes out and looking for happiness outside, this desire for power and control others will become so strong. Every living entity has this problem. It will be so strong, there will never be any peace. There will be never any peace inside. On the other hand, if the mind turns inward looking and goes back to its original source, Krishna inside, automatically rejecting everything from the external world, the mind will become peaceful. That's why Krishna says there, Krishna, if you look in the second chapter, he talks about it, ashandasya kutas sukham, he says, one who is not peaceful, what happiness has he got? In other words, Krishna's definition of happiness is this, ashandasya kutas sukham, he says there. Where is happiness for a person who is not peaceful? So the first thing in the process of self-realization is to become peaceful. In order to become peaceful, this thing called senses and the mind has to come under control. There is no other substitute for that. No other substitute for that. So in order to bring the mind and the senses and the mind under control, Krishna says you turn them inwards. And that is how the Atmavijaram or the realization of the self begins. This is the primary step in that direction. The very basic steps in that direction. Whereas on the other hand, when we turn our mind and senses externally, simply trying to look for enjoyment, it says here that the that one who has no devotion to Krishna, he will not be able to control his mind. He will never be able to control his mind. He will think that all the sense objects are for his sense gratification. And this controlling mind and senses, it can be done in two different ways. One, by proper reflection of the truth and by complete analysis and developing vairagyam, detachment from material sense enjoyment. Detachment from material sense enjoyment. And that through knowledge that is possible. Knowledge means through renunciation. Through renunciation and knowledge. Through knowledge renunciation comes, and through renunciation one is able to control oneself from enjoying the senses or able to put an end to it. So that is one process. But devotees don't have to go through that rigorous process. Devotees surrender themselves to Krishna and hand over everything, the mind, intelligence, senses, everything to Krishna to control. So when Krishna controls them, they are always under control in the Krishna conscious way, in the Krishna's conscious way. That is why this process of Sharanagati means offering everything to Krishna, everything. Krishna is responsible. I am not responsible anymore. If Krishna wants to give me whatever happiness according to my prarabdham, I will accept that. But whatever distress also comes, I will accept that as Krishna's mercy to me so that I can refrain from sense enjoyment. In that way, a devotee's consciousness is linked with Krishna in that way. Therefore, he does not experience the same difficulty like a jnani does. Jnani has a great difficulty there. Jnani, it says in the Bhagavatam, and also as in the Bhagavad Gita also, that a Jnani will try very, very hard to control his senses through knowledge. Through knowledge he is controlling that, and detachment, renunciation. But even one sense in 1 second can make the whole thing collapse before you know about it. So therefore, whichever process it is, this requirement is there. What is that requirement? Sense enjoyment has to come to an end. Sense enjoyment means identification with the body. Sense enjoyment means to try to enjoy the matter. Try to find happiness in the jadam, in the dead matter. That is why sense enjoyment means. So unless through knowledge or through devotion, if it is not directed towards Krishna, this is going to fail. And therefore this process of Jnana Yogam or Bhakti process is spoken. That it says here, those who are executing austerities and penances without sufficient devotion to Krishna, their efforts will eventually may fail. Then even if they have succeeded over controlling their sense enjoyment, sensual desires, sometimes anger can take control over it. Like it happened in the case of so many great personalities, Vishwamitra Maharshi and so many others. They have done that. Then you did not show any such anger towards us. The Kamadeva is saying to and the other Apsaras who came with them, they were saying to Narayana Maharshi, you did not show any anger to us in that way. That shows your greatness. In other words, they were glorifying Narayana Maharshi in this way. You can see the greatness of that great personality, sage, Narayana Maharshi, how much he was above all these happiness of the heavenly planets or this little happiness what the material world was able to offer. They were able to stay above that and execute their spiritual life. Just like normally, people easily get attracted by the material happiness in this world, isn't it? And they get victimized by that also. That is why we have these two things, religion and spiritual life. What's the difference? Difference is this. Spiritual life is those who is vyavasaya atmiya buddhi, Krishna says, who his mind is directed towards going back home, back to Krishna. There is no other plan, second plans here. Whereas religion is that where you mix up these two things together. Which one? Spiritual life and your sense enjoyment in this world. That is religion. So religion and spirituality, the difference is because of this. In religion, we want our material happiness in this world, and whatever little progress we can make spiritually, we are satisfied by that. But when you come to spirituality, it is a different story altogether. There is no, spirituality has not even the slightest tinge of material desires there. That is proper spiritual life. All other things are materialism. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll discuss next Sunday.